You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
This is what the Raps were playing on the plane last night.
Woo! It's a positive Friday intro.
Tuned in second half, and what a time to tune in. They were down, I think, 8 when I started watching, and then they got so dialed in.
Oh, yeah.
I've never had a reaction. I think when the Leafs went on the run with Dougie in 92, 93, I was like, proud. Usually I watch, I'm like, good game, way to go, or tough loss, you stunk. But I was just so proud of the way they came through in the clutch. I mean, Kawhi, the way he played,
Fred Van Fleet
dialed in, Gasol hit some awesome shots.
Yep.
It was just like, I was like, you guys are getting it done. There were some guys that you said, it's time to fade them, maybe step away, and they did. And it was like the guys that were out there, that was just a they played like champions, man, in that fourth quarter.
15 points for Kawhi in the fourth quarter. A bunch of offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter. They didn't turn the ball over. They slowed the game down when they had to in the fourth quarter. They were down by 10 in the third, yet it didn't feel as if Milwaukee had taken over the game. It didn't feel like Milwaukee was in a position where they should feel confident.
Well, it was on the fence where if they had missed some of the shots that they made going the other way, it would have been...
Well, that's basketball, right?
Yeah, I mean, if they could have extended that lead, it would have been lights out.
Yeah, but, I mean, they had a big lead to start the game. Now, that doesn't usually mean anything when you're playing against a very good team. You know, tomorrow night the Raptors could be up 15, 3-4 minutes into the game. It doesn't mean anything because Milwaukee is more than capable of chipping away at that over the course of, you know, the next 45 minutes.
Man, but there was some goofy non-foul foul. I was like, I don't know what the trick. Can you explain to me the because I'm seeing guys run over another guy, and sometimes the guy that's charging gets fouled.
It's a judgment call every time. It's
some guy will just get steamrolled.
It's impossible to tell what they're going to call.
Who the hell are they picking? Who's getting called?
Well, that's why, you know, the conspiracy theory would suggest whoever is the better player is going to get the call. Or whoever, you know, is red hot at that time, it's going to go on the opposite side because the refs are thinking, let's, you know.
So the charge is an ultimate, like it's a popularity call?
Well, there is a science to it. You know, you have to be outside of the semicircle. You've got to be standing still. You know, there is something that there is a defensive element to, you know, gaining a charging call, but it's such a fast game and it's such a quick moment, it's impossible for a ref to ever really be able to, you know, assess the whole situation. You know, the offensive player's got to look like he's out of control. Did you get into your position and get set before the guy was up in the air? I mean, there's a lot of different variables that come into play, but I hear what you're saying. I mean, there were a couple in the fourth. Gasol got called for a foul. I thought that was a blatant charge. Lowry, I don't believe he got called on a foul for it, but I thought he took a charge in the fourth, but it didn't matter. You know, again, I don't think the Raptors fans are not complaining about anything today, nor should they. But the Raptors got to the line 31 times last night. Milwaukee only got there 18 times. So the officiating, if anything, it was a positive for the Raptors last night. And, you know, there were some goofy stats that came out of it. The Raptors shot 42% from three and only shot 37% from the field. So if Van Fleet doesn't go off the way he went off last night, if Kawhi doesn't start hitting those shots late, Gasol hit a big three. The first shot of the game he had hit all night was in the fourth quarter, a wide open three. They were not really penetrating the paint. Neither team was.
Gasol's got this weird delivery where it looks, it's either like air ball or just flat money.
He's not confident in his shot. He doesn't want to take a shot.
Well, Van Fleet's the guy that turned it around. You said, I think a week ago, he's unplayable.
He was.
Yeah, he was.
He was unplayable. He was getting out there for 2 or 3 minutes, and you could tell. Nurse just said, I can't have this guy in the court.
I know. So it was nice to see him turn it around. He was dialed in, man.
Well, and now he's Fred Van Fleet Sr.
Oh, come on.
Like, is that official where, I know he had a kid and he named him Fred Van Fleet Jr., but are you allowed to change your name?
He's going with Fred Van Fleet Sr.?
No, I think the media is peddling that. I saw Kate was really peddling that last night. Kate, I think they were talking about it on the telecast.
I got to tell you, I don't know if we have the audio, but when he was asked about his kid, He had an answer that I loved. Did you hear what he said?
I heard it. Let's see if we can find that. It was from the post game. We'll be able to get it.
It's the best. It's the best quote ever because it was real. It's the truth. And he came out with it. It's like...
I thought he was being tongue-in-cheek. I think he was joking a little bit. But the essence of it was... Because everyone's trying to build this narrative that he's on fire now because he's a dad, because he had a kid. So he's doing it. He's inspired because now, you know, he's got offspring in the world. So now he's going to be red hot. And, you know, we'll get to the clip. We'll play it in a moment. But essentially, he said, I'm not giving that kid any credit at all.
Yeah. He goes, I put in some extra work and it's paying off.
Right. That kid didn't do anything for me.
I love it. I love the answer.
Kid's only been around for 48 hours. How would he be helping me all of a sudden hit wide open threes?
Yeah. What is he doing? Is he on an earpiece telling me how to shoot it at 2 days old? No.
No, he's not doing that.
Fred Van Vliet Sr. is the one who got the work done.
Yeah. I'd like to get an answer on that. If Fred is the one kind of promoting it behind the scenes, I want to be known as Fred Van Vliet Sr. now.
Who's the wide receiver for Baltimore a lot of years? Smith, Jacksonville, Smith Sr. or?
Well, Steve Smith.
Steve Smith. It was
and then
senior?
He became senior, yeah.
After what? Like he
Well, he had a kid, obviously, and he had a junior, and he decided, now I'm senior. Which is not wrong. I mean, technically, if you name your kid after yourself, you do immediately become a senior.
Well, no kidding.
But if you're a pro athlete, if you're a public figure, all of a sudden you go by senior? Like,
well, I have an uncle who has a son, same name, and they literally just go by junior and senior. Not even any names. Just one's junior, one's senior.
Well, how about George Foreman? Do you know the story about him?
8 kids named George Foreman.
All of his kids are named George. Like, all at least all the boys. Yeah. I think he's got 5 boys, and they're all named George.
That's weird, dude.
It's not a smart decision. All right, do you want to hear Fred Van Vliet postgame? You want to hear Fred Van Vliet?
Senior.
I'm not giving him no credit. It's all me. You know, it's all the work I've been putting in. But, you know, just got to stay the course, put a lot of work in, and obviously to have a big life help, you know, to clear your mind up a little bit, gives you a little bit of extra motivation as well.
Yeah, I'm not giving that two-day-old kid any credit for what I'm doing. And he went 4 for 4 on passes from Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi is the king right now. Like, now I was listening to sports radio throughout the day. I was tracking what was going on, not only in Toronto, but down in the States. And all of a sudden, everyone's having this conversation. And I understand it because we're in the bubble right now. But is Kawhi the best player in the world? Now, Kevin Durant is injured, and he's not playing right now. LeBron James had a really down season. But Kawhi is clearly better than Giannis. Like, clearly better than Giannis. And I think what...
rattle in the fourth, man.
Well, because you look at the numbers. Ever since after Game 2, they made an adjustment. And by all accounts, it was Kawhi who said, put me on this guy. And when Kawhi is defending him, and he has been defending him for well over 100 possessions, Giannis, his numbers have cratered. Cratered. Like, he did nothing of substance last night.
He hit one big three, I think, in the third or I don't know. He hit a big three where he kind of got momentum back, but after that, nothing.
If he's not around the rim, he's shooting like 20%. Anything outside of a dunk or a layup or, you know, a quick, you know, hook shot around the rim, this guy is uncomfortable. He looks like he's out of whack, out of sync, and it's Kawhi Leonard. Like, Kawhi is putting up points offensively, clearly. 15 in the fourth last night, a couple of massive three-pointers. He's also setting up his teammates. They're starting to hit shots, so he's racking up more assists. He had a career-high 9 last night in the playoffs.
He drives, and somebody's wide open. Wide open. That's what it's going to all come down to. Can they make that shot when they're wide open?
Well, that's the thing, right? That's the game, because if the Raptors can slow the game down, if it's a half-court game, they have a huge advantage over Milwaukee. If it's a fast-paced, you know, fast-break type of offense, Milwaukee, that's the style they want to play.
It was kind of, it's LeBron-like.
But you got to hit shots.
It's LeBron-like. That's what he would just be like, okay, you're wide open. I'm going to be. And he loved passing the ball, and he would. And it was up to his teammates to make the shot.
Absolutely.
That's wide open.
That's LeBron in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron will take the shot if he's got it, but if there's a higher percentage shot somewhere else, he'll dish. And that's what Kawhi's been doing. And then defensively, again, what he's managed to do against Giannis, which has completely crippled the offense for Milwaukee, has been incredible. So now that's kind of what we're dealing with here. You got a scenario where Kawhi Leonard, who's a Raptor, and I don't know how much longer he's going to be a Raptor, but it doesn't matter, is in the legitimate conversation for being the best player in the world. Best player in the world. And how can you deny it the way he's playing right now? Like, it might change in 2 weeks if Kevin Durant returns and is healthy, or maybe it changes in the next two games. Maybe Giannis shows up tomorrow night and they push it to seven and we see what happens on Monday. And I will say, I think what Kawhi has supplied Toronto with, and it's specifically him, it's not the whole team, is a swagger and a confidence that is really not very Toronto-esque. Like, we were in a similar situation a month ago with the other team that plays in that building. Up 3-2 at home, and nobody was confident. Nobody. Now, that's partially because of Boston and the mojo that they've got over the city.
I think no one was confident is a stretch. I was somewhat confident going into that game, saying, here's their chance.
Well, here's their
chance. I didn't say they're going to win.
But I'm seeing a lot of people saying, this is over. Like, the Raptors, it's done.
But if they don't win, what good is that?
Well, it doesn't mean anything. You like that? No, it doesn't mean anything. What I'm saying is I think what Kawhi has supplied the Toronto sports fan with a swagger and with an element of confidence that I haven't seen. Because it's not as if the Leafs could not have won that game or won Game 7. They didn't. But at the time, I didn't pick up on confidence. I'm not saying, you know, no one had it. But I don't think people were beating their chest saying, this is done. It's over. Leafs are a lock. They're moving on. The way people are doing this with the Raptors. And, you know, I'm not quite there yet. I feel good about them tomorrow night. But Milwaukee's not going to come in and lay down.
No, they're not.
This series is not over. So let's, you know, hold off on what's going to happen against Golden State and what could be on the line in a couple of weeks. Because you still got to close.
I like Charles Barkley comment. Like, tomorrow's your game 7. Play like it. Don't even think about testing or trying fate going back in there. Don't even think about it. Just end it.
Well, and that's what Nick Nurse said today. You know, he said tomorrow's a whatever it takes kind of game. If Kawhi's got to play 45 minutes, he's playing 45. There's no minute restriction, nothing. Like, you've got to gear up and.
Yeah, all hands on deck.
Yeah, all hands on deck and do it at home. Because Milwaukee's going to have something for you tomorrow night.
Yep.
They're going to have something for you tomorrow night. Vegas says the Raptors is a 2.5-point favorite. Which I think is deserved. I think the Raptors should be favored. They're at home. They've been the better
team.
Three in a row, and they've been the better team. You know, they've crossed the board. They've been the better team. But this isn't, I don't think it's over. I feel much more confident about this than I have really in a long time.
Are you going to get the night of the hall pass to go out to the pub with the fellas? Or?
Well, we were in bed watching the second half last night. And my wife is into it now. Like, she's totally into the Raptors. Everyone's on a bandwagon. Everyone can't get enough of the Raptors right now. And as they're starting to close, and, you know, I'm watching the final couple of minutes, and Kawhi's hitting big shots, and they're going to the free throw line, and they're hitting the shots, and I'm saying, you know what? History's going to be on the line on Saturday night. And we looked this up because the Jays went to the ALCS in 15 and 16. The Leafs were in the Eastern Conference Final in 99 and 02. And then, of course, the Blue Jays in 93 went to the World Series, but they closed Game 6 in Chicago against the White Sox. There has not been a game in Toronto featuring one of the big three teams. So don't come at me, TFC, Argos, and all that. Maple Leafs, Raptors, Blue Jays. There has not been a home game
to advance to a championship.
To advance to a championship since Wayne Gretzky was in the house at the Gardens in 93. That's the last time that was available to the fans of Toronto. So I started going down that history lesson with my wife, and it's been 3 weeks. Still technically newborn stage. But I leaned over after the win, and I said, can I maybe go to the game Saturday night? And do you know the answer I got?
No.
Yes, guy!
I'm going tomorrow night. Yes, guy.
Yes, guy!
Never give up! Never give up!
I'm free tomorrow night. I am
in
the building.
Did you get the King Daddy Topper, though, at the parents for a sleepover?
No, I didn't get the green light special. I got the get on the parkway and get northbound postgame. But
so what are you doing? Getting a media pass? Or
yeah, I'm going to be in the house. I've got the pass. I'm in the building tomorrow night. I got to find a way to work my way into the seats if I can. I don't know how I'm going to do that because I'd love to be in the seats. But I can't miss tomorrow night. I got to be there tomorrow night. I have to be in
but
the building.
I say
tomorrow
you only go if you can be in the stand. Who I don't want to. I wouldn't want to go and watch from the press box.
Oh, I'm happy to do. I'd sit in the in a closet somewhere in the back room. I just want to feel the energy of the city around the, you know, the building. Walking into the building, walking out of the building. Because last time we walked out of a building after a win, and again, I understand they haven't locked in anything yet. They still got to play the game tomorrow night. But game five, ALDS in 15. You know, we all walked out of the Sky Dome after the bat flip and all that. Remember the city and how people were going crazy? And I expect a similar atmosphere tomorrow night if they can find a way to win. Saturday night, 8:30 tip. We're talking 10:30 exit in Toronto downtown. If the weather can hold, and I know it's supposed to be ugly tomorrow.
That'll be crazy down there. That'll be crazy. Yeah. They win that one.
Having the time of his life.
Yes, guy.
You got a yes, guy.
Yes, guy!
Was that with the tap, man?
That was when we were in Vegas. That was just to ruin the post game with the tap, man.
Well, you know if you're in the press box, you will be with the tap, man.
Oh, I understand that. The tap, man, will be. We got the game tomorrow night. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio tomorrow night. 8:30 tip. Pregame, I think it's 7 o'clock. So the Tapman will be in the house. Dwayne Watson will be in the house. I'm going to be up there. I can't wait, man. I'm looking forward to it. First time out in weeks. You know, I've been coming to work and going right home. So
I would have said, look, I'm going to crash at my parents. I'll be home at 8 a.m.
Well, I'll see if I can. I mean, by that time, I'm not going to get home till after midnight anyway. I might as well try to put in a little bit of a shift.
Why not? Just we'll take see. You do your thing, park at your parents'. Transportation down, and then you get after it. It's your night. You deserve it, buddy.
I do deserve it. You're right. Yeah. Yeah, I do deserve it.
But the caveat is you've got to be home by 8 a.m. And you say, honey, here's what I got you. You slide over, day spa. Mani, pedi, massage, and don't come back. I'll have dinner ready for you. I'm going to take care of the kids.
Wow.
All good.
I like it. I like it a lot. I think it sounds like you've been down this road before. Not your first rodeo.
Well, do you know how many times I've had those cards ripped up and thrown in my face?
Prepaid?
Whatever. Just flung at me like this. Remember when you were a kid, you used to throw the hockey cards?
Oh, yeah.
No guy.
Yeah. Can I go on this golf trip with my friends? Here's your passes to the spa.
No guy.
No guy.
Yeah, that's a shame.
But I think it's your night.
I feel good.
Tell your buddies, let's meet up. If I was you, I would be just downtown at a pub watching the game. I don't know why.
Well, I want to be in a building, man. I got history in Toronto, man. It's been 26 years since one of the big three teams had a chance to punch a ticket to a final.
And get at me, Collingwood. Where's everyone watching the game? Beaver and the Bulldog, maybe? Never know. Let me know the move.
Collingswood. Let's not forget, Charles Barkley renamed Collingwood.
Then Wayne got cheap.
And then Wayne Gretzky got cheap and ended his, what was it, the Nike tour? Or
Web.com.
The Web.com. Pro-Am, and it's Wayne Gretzky's fault. All right, Rod Black is supposed to be in the house. Rod's coming up here at some point. Like, Noodles is still away, but Rod's been doing, I think, hits downtown. He's been down at Scotiabank or whatever. So Rod's going to join us in studio. We'll get him in here. We've got Ernie Johnson from TNT coming up at 5.
We'll have to ask his opinion on being the host, handling former athletes. Does anybody say to him, Charles and Shaq would know?
Oh, I guarantee you he gets that all the time. So we'll get Roddy in here, and I think he's in the house. We'll get his take on what it was like in Milwaukee last night. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, you know it's a big afternoon when the legend himself, Rod Black, is in the house.
Oh, boy.
What is happening over there?
Sorry I'm late. I know it was mail-in.
Yeah,
well. I had to drive in. I want to kick the
Rod
guy.
Rod Black Show starting off now.
You know what? You like that Waze app? I think it's great. It's helped a lot.
Well, there's people that have used it, and they show up an hour late, and they're like, sorry, I used Waze.
Well, I like to kick the guy in the crotch who invented it, because it's all good, except guess what? Everybody has Waze now.
Right.
So
we,
when you think you're going the right way, you're not. Anyway, traffic. Toronto's the greatest city in the world, but the traffic is...
too much.
Terrible.
Sucks.
Well, and everyone's saying that this summer is going to be the worst construction summer in the history of the city.
What?
Yeah, like more construction going on this summer than any other summer. How is that possible?
It can't have any more. Well, you know what? Have you been to Montreal in the summer? Montreal has the worst traffic and construction.
Disgusting. Have you ever seen like the traffic on the side streets if they close off the Gardner on the weekend? Like streets like the Queensway and Bloor Street, you can't go anywhere. Anyway, let's get into last night.
Wait, Roddy. I got to tell you, this goes to the Raptors. So they're often... I'm known for stretching it to the last minute, and I used to, you know, I live up north. I drive down the Gardner, get under the Gardner on the lake shore, and or I'm on an Uber. And one day I was in an Uber. This happened to me like twice in a row, and even recently. And so you're stuck down there. Says, just let me out. So I start walking down there, and a guy bumps into me. Got a Canada Goose jacket on, hat pulled down, just came off the streetcar. Nick Nurse. Don't you love a guy who takes the streetcar just as one of the guys? And then, you know, hey, we walk like a couple blocks together. And that's the kind of guy he is as a coach. And
he
seems
like an old school.
He is an old school guy.
His best friend used to take the streetcar, too.
Who, Dwayne Casey?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's not forget about Dwayne Casey.
Yeah he did.
That's a good point, Brian.
Yeah, well, listen.
That's good point, Brian.
Hey, buddy.
Do you think Nick Nurse will change it all, though, if they get to an NBA Finals? I mean, that's got to be an ego boost for a rookie head coach.
He is a fascinating guy because the last few years, being the assistant, he was always the guy that we went to because he was always on the floor working with Jonas or DeMar. And, you know, I honestly didn't believe that he would become the head coach because it never really happens that you're elevated within the organization. I also didn't think they'd fire Dwayne Casey, but you saw what happened.
Let me ask you. Dwayne Casey was fired, and I'm not going to throw Dwayne Casey under the bus or say that Nick Nurse threw him under the bus in his interview saying, I could have done this, I could have done that. But would the Raps be here? Would the Raps with Kawhi, could Dwayne Casey have gotten them where they are right now? Is there any difference?
One of us might be able to coach Kawhi. But I will tell you that Nick Nurse has coached his butt off in this series and actually has outcoached Mike Budenholzer. I thought Budenholzer made a serious mistake last night by changing his starting lineup. It's like, Odog, you know in hockey, what's the old saying in the playoffs? Never change your goalie. You can't go back to that goalie. You're done. You're crushed, generally. Same thing. You change somebody, it might work. And last night, Nikola Mirotic was nothing after that. He's crushed now because he can't go back to him. Malcolm Brogdon came in. Everybody goes, oh, Malcolm Brogdon. Guess what Brogdon was doing? He was taking touches and minutes away from Chris Middleton last night. So it's a domino effect. Unless you're really in a panic mode, I don't know why you would make that change in Game 5.
Well,
I really don't.
And Nurse was in the spotlight after Game 2.
And he didn't make any change.
He didn't. I mean, he put up a bit of a bluff. Like he was thinking about it. And I would expect to go with the standard five that he's been going with lately.
He's not changing.
I think the debate will be how long Danny Green stays on the floor because, you know, if there's one, I wouldn't even call it a negative.
He's MIA.
3-2, but he is a real problem for them right now. And that was an adjustment that Nurse made last night. He saw, and everyone saw it, but you realize Danny Green could not touch the floor in the fourth quarter. He couldn't play him.
Yeah, Nick Nurse is one of those guys who really believes in his players, and he does not want to crush their spirit. But you're right. I have a feeling... Don't you, though, that based on what's happened, the logical law of averages and the progression in this series, that Danny Green might be the guy in Game 6?
At some point...
He's going to hit.
He's got to hit a shot.
Fred VanVleet last night, hitting. Right. And why was Fred VanVleet, by the way, hitting? Because of Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard had 9 assists. Do you know that every one of those assists led to a 3-point shot completion?
Right.
Wide open, by the way.
Well,
wide
Fred
open.
Was 4-for-4 on passes from Kawhi, from 3.
Yeah, Fred was really struggling. Like, Danny was struggling. Fred was really struggling. Over the last 8 quarters, he scored more points in those 8 quarters than his previous 44 quarters combined.
Right. Oh, against Philly,
That's
couldn't play
crazy.
Him. You could not play him against Philly. Fred VanVleet was unplayable, and now he's come alive, and it's because he's hitting shots, but with that comes a bit of a mojo, a bit of an attitude. You know, he's bringing something defensively. And Norman Powell's been big, too. Powell was very good again last night.
He loves playing against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Right. You know, and that's the bench. They need it. Because if Kawhi's going to do what he did last night, you're in a very good spot. But you still need a few more players to pull their weight. I thought Lowry played well again last night. Gasol defensively was outstanding. Yeah. And then they got big nights out of Fred and
body parts. One certain body part was starting to shrink within the Milwaukee Bucks. And you could see it. The pressure got to them.
Right.
The inexperience got to them.
What body part?
You know which one I'm talking about.
There you go. All right, game.
The one that some guy next to me in the plane today wasn't using very well.
Game six tomorrow night. Raptors slight favorite, only about 2.5-point favorite, which I was a little bit surprised by that. I thought,
don't go by anything. You know what last night was? Bucks by 7.
Yeah, that's right.
Previous game, Bucks by 6.
But Vegas usually has a pretty good idea of where things are going to go, and they obviously missed last night. But
like every U.S.
saying it's going to be close.
U.S. commentators missed.
Right. Oh, no kidding. Well, we got a guy here who's from Toronto, but he's living down in the States. Co-host of The Starters on NBA TV. I believe making his debut on our show anyway. J.E. Skeets is on the show.
You got Skeets on the show?
That's right. What's up, J.E.?
Guys, how's it going? One win away. I can't believe it. I'm on cloud nine right now. How are you guys doing?
Well, man, we're sharing the same type of vibe up here in Toronto. I mean, it's pretty incredible the way things have played out, especially down 2-0. You know, take us back to your mentality when the Raptors were down 2-0 coming home. How confident were you that they could even make it a series, let alone run off three in a row like they have?
Yeah, I mean, three in a row, I didn't see that coming. I don't think even, you know, the most optimistic Raptors fan could say they saw that coming. But the cliche was there. I mean, I was tweeting about it and joking about it a little bit. But, you know, the series doesn't start until the home team loses. So there was some faith in the Raptors. And I think what we've learned throughout these entire playoffs, and really all season long with this Raptors, is that they don't just cave when there's a little adversity. You know, even in this Game 5 that we saw, getting down 18-4, and you're like, oh, old Raptors teams, I'd be pacing like crazy in front of my television saying it's over already, oh, they didn't show up to play. But you don't really do that with this squad because I think a lot of the experience, and of course having Kawhi Leonard, a proven winner. Yeah, I mean, it's been impressive to put three together in a row against the team in the Bucks that just don't lose three in a row, had barely lost two in a row, for crying out loud. But the big change going into Game 3 was, hey, let's put the greatest defender in the world on their star player and send them help just to even still slow down Giannis and see if that works. And, you know, great call by Nurse and running these guys off the three-point line. For three games now, it's worked, and hopefully they can do it one more time, hopefully in Game 6.
Well, we're in the bubble right now, but this is a part of the conversation. If you were building a team for the next 3 years and you could start with either Kawhi or Giannis, who would you take?
I'd take Kawhi. I'd take Kawhi in a heartbeat, to be completely honest. I understand that the quad, the lingering issue, if it's there, if it still, you know, exists when it's all said and done here in the playoffs, that maybe worries some people, but I just think the way Kawhi can go about getting his points, Giannis is just not there. He has to use his freakish athleticism to, you know, Euro step around guys, barrel through guys because he's quite strong, and that's taxing. I mean, especially in a playoff series when you're playing every second night. Whereas Kawhi, I mean, he can hit the three, as we saw the two step backs on Brook. He can get to the line where he's a lot better at the free throw line than Giannis right now at this point in his career, and he's a bit better facilitator as well. So I just think, you know, they're both great defenders, but I still even think the edge goes to Kawhi in that regard. So I would go Kawhi right now. And then, you know, that's not a knock on Giannis by any means. The guy's going to win MVP this year. Right. And he's only 24. He's going to get better.
And he'll win championships down the road. But I believe he's not ready. He's not ready yet. He's not ready. He's showing he's not ready. And Giannis basketball works in the regular season a whole lot. It don't work in the playoffs when you start throwing four bodies at him and walls, and he starts to over-dribble or over-penetrate, and he's just... And by the way, his free throw shooting is awful right now.
Yeah. He is awful. I think you can see he's a little scared to go to the line right now, and he's changing some of his shots, and, you know, he doinked the dunk last night as well, and stuff like that. I'm 100% with you. And look, credit has to go, of course, to this Raptors defense. I mean, he is going up against, you know, a former Defensive Player of the Year in Kawhi. Oh, another one in Marc Gasol. Oh, Serge Ibaka, you know, obviously led the league in blocks for years and is still an elite defender. Pascal Siakam and his length, and then Lowry dipping down and sort of causing mess down there. I mean, this is just the Raptors' defense. It's on another level right now. This is their identity. I mean, I know we can talk about Kawhi and the takeovers and Van Vliet catching fire and all that. They are winning games, and they are winning these playoff series because they have an elite defense. And, I mean, I hope the cliche is true that defense wins championships, and it also helps to have the best player in a series, because right now the Raptors have both of those things going for them. And that's a huge reason we're, you know, they're up 3-2 as we get to Game 6 here.
With J.E. Skeets, co-host of the Starters on NBA TV, Game 6 tomorrow night, Raptors, Bucks down at Scotiabank. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Tip-off at 8:30, pregame at 7. I guess, you know, we were talking about this prior to having you on. We know who's going to start tomorrow night. Danny Green's going to get minutes tomorrow night. You've got to continue to try to get him rolling. And if he's open, he's got to hit shots. He's got to take the shots like he did last night. But something's off with this guy. And, you know, it's the one negative maybe about what's happening here, because everyone's feeling so positive about where the Raptors are at. But how do you feel Nick Nurse is going to approach Danny Green tomorrow night in terms of minutes, in terms of, you know, the rope he's going to give him to either prove you're into it or you're out of it and you've got to come off?
Yeah, I think it'll be similar to what we saw in Game 5 to some extent. And it helps that you have a guy that's on fire right now. I mean, he's going to still find minutes for Van Vliet. You just can't not with the two games that he's had. Like, you know, my wife and I, we decided we're not going to have kids, but I'm starting to second guess that, because if it turns us into, like, if it turns me into Klay Thompson for, you know, my Wednesday pickup runs, yeah, then we got to reconsider here popping some kids out, because this is wild that, you know, he hit seven threes on the road in sort of a pivotal, sort of feels like a must-win game. And this, and I heard you guys talking about right before I came on, a guy that was unplayable. He was unplayable in the Philly series. And a lot of that was because they have a lot more height that they were throwing on him, and it was making it way too difficult. But he didn't even really have a great regular season compared to the year before, and when he was got the paycheck. He had a rough year
right all
along, but he has perfectly timed this sort of breakout performances here in 4 and 5.
No.
And,
no.
Yeah.
His wife, his significant other, perfectly timed it.
He gave no credit. He said, "It's all me. I made the shots."
Yeah, it's a great point. Everybody they played this perfectly, the Van Vliet. They're always betting on themselves, and they know what's up. It's amazing to see. Yeah, but Danny Green shot 45% from downtown to the regular season. He's done it time and time again in playoffs before, obviously back with the Spurs. He can catch fire too. I mean, I really, truly wouldn't be shocked in a Game 6 or a Game 7 scenario if it goes there, where he is the one that suddenly is hitting 3 or 4 or 5 threes in a particular must-win game. I mean, he's been there and he can do it, but it's nice to have that sort of like, all right, you don't have it going again here. Let's try this guy that's on fire right now in Van Vliet. Let's see. And even Norm to some extent, who's still playing pretty well, especially when he plays the Bucks. So.
And home rims as well. There's,
yeah.
there's a lot to that. There's a lot to home rims.
And Drake's in the house tomorrow night. Don't forget about that either.
Yeah, Drake's in the house. J.E. Skeets is going to be in the house. I'm flying up tomorrow night.
There you go, man.
I'm not missing this one. And that is the funny part, though. We were talking about it on our podcast this morning, because Tass, obviously my co-host of the show, he's a big Raptors fan too, from Toronto, grew up in Mississauga, and we're both coming back for this game. But he's like, it is weird that, I don't know, it feels like Raptors fans and all of us and such, like everybody up there in Toronto, it feels like we're talking about this like it's sort of a done deal that the Raptors are going to the finals.
That's
they
what
pulled
Brian
out this
just said.
Win.
Yeah, it's very un-Toronto. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Because, and I honestly, I think it's Kawhi. Like that's
because they're really, really good.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's Kawhi in particular has allowed Toronto to have confidence that we just simply never have.
Yeah, I've overheard people in restaurants today or just running around doing errands. We're going to the finals, man.
Right. Which is dangerous.
I know.
Because it's not over yet.
But I think, you know, and Jay, you know, you're down there. I think the conversation from the American commentators, and I don't want to, hey, even in Canada, we said it, and they said how much better Milwaukee was. You know, that regular season record was a bit of a mirage. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at it, Giannis played, I think, 72 games, right? Kawhi played 60 games. If Kawhi plays, let's say, another 8 games, but he probably wouldn't have because of the low management.
More Ws.
The Raptors would have won by 4 games in the East.
Right, yeah.
You know, and they would have been the better team.
Yep, that's right. And I mean, look, I know the Bucks got the benefit of the doubt here, I think, heading into this series with how they looked in the first two playoff series, too, right? I mean, some people were very high on the Celtics, myself included. I actually thought, you know, maybe there was that sort of proverbial switch that they could flip and really get it going. And then I looked like a genius after Game 1 when the Celtics hammered the Bucks. And then that, of course, quickly fell apart. So I think that helps sort of the narrative heading into this series between the Bucks and Raptors. Like, wow, Raptors, oh, it took them 7 games. And wow, pretty lucky shot at the end from Kawhi. And they just eked out the win past the Sixers. Look at the Bucks. They just killed the Celtics with Kyrie and those guys and the talent they have over there. So I think that's a part of it. The other thing with the Game 6, and it feels like it's sort of a done deal, is in my heart, I truly believe, I know, that the Raptors, they could play a better game than they did in Game 5. They shot under 35% in this Game 5 win.
Right.
You know, Van Vliet on fire, Kawhi doing things in the fourth quarter, but overall, this was not an incredible
They were down 14. Yeah. Down 14. Down 10 late.
Well, this stat, I just saw this. The Grappler just sent this to us. Kirk Goldsberry just sent this tweet out. Last night, the Raptors became the first team in NBA history to win a playoff game despite making 13 or fewer two-point shots. They shot 13 for 41 on two-pointers and still won thanks to 18 threes and 25 free throws. So they shot incredibly well from deep, and they penetrated. They got to the line, and
welcome to the new NBA.
It doesn't make any sense. You're right. I mean, they were you know, whatever it was, 37% from the field and 42% from three.
Plus 24. Plus 24 points from beyond the arc.
Right. That'll do it for you.
That really will. These teams are that even that I think that is the difference maker. And the Raptors have done such a great job of running a lot of these Bucks shooters off of the line. The Bucks all regular season long shoot a ton of threes. They got a lot of shooters around Giannis. But throughout this series, not only are they not making a lot, you know, basically shooting 32%, 31% every game, but they're also not getting a lot of attempts. And that's because this Raptors defense is so locked in, so intelligent, so quick, so long that, you know, it goes to some of these guys. Now, they pick and choose, right? If it's Bledsoe, leave him. If it's Giannis, okay, we back up. We'll live with that. But it's these other guys, Brooke, Brogdon, Hill, Mirotić. As much as they can, they're trying to run them off the line or challenge them enough to sort of get in their head a little bit. And I think it's not just the Bucks are like, oh, they've gone ice cold from three. Maybe they'll catch fire in six or seven. But it's credit to that Raptors defense for closing out. I mean, that's a heck of a skill, and you got to really want it. And they've done a great job over these last three games, that really all series long, of sort of keeping the three-point attempts for the Bucks down while hitting enough on the other end.
You can catch the Starters on NBA TV. He is the co-host of the show, J.E. Skeets. He's back home tomorrow night. Safe travels. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. And thank you for doing this afternoon.
Guys, thanks so much. Go Raps.
There he is, J.E. Skeets. Back in town tomorrow night. He will be in the house. Rod, you'll be in the house.
Yep. You're going to be up there?
I'm going to be in the house.
O-Dog, where are you going to be tomorrow? What
Collingswood.
Hole? Oh, you're in Collingswood.
That's what Charles Barkley called Collingswood.
I'm going to Collingswood. What happened to Gretzky? Yeah. The tournament.
Gretzky bailed on.
No, he said Gretzky got. Wayne got cheap.
He got cheap. Wayne got cheap.
Yeah.
Knucklehead.
Collingswood. That's even better.
Collingswood.
Just seen him last night. We had a little bit of a late night, and it was good because we just sat and chatted about the game all night long, and he's like so many others. He's teeter-tottered. Paul Pierce, who had the worst prediction ever after game one in that Boston series. It's over. Stephen A. Smith, who has had to flip-flop. I think so many commentators have had to flip-flop, including Barkley, who said the Milwaukee Bucks and Portland Trailblazers would be in the championship. I had to call him off of a $100,000 bet on the Blazers because he was going to take the Blazers. Don't. And
against Golden State?
Yeah, he loved the Blazers. But here's what happened is that everybody has gone the other way, and Chuck was doing that last night. He's now solidly on the Toronto side, although he said what you guys said earlier. Tomorrow is game 7 for Toronto.
Yeah, it feels that way. I mean, I think they're a veteran team. No, they can win on the road. They proved it last night. But taking two out of Milwaukee?
I think they're done. I think the deer is gutted.
There you go. All right, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the game tomorrow night. You got to tune in this afternoon to find out how and when.
Dude, rig it.
We'd love to be able to take these two tickets, but we're not going to do that. We're giving them out to two fans of First Up and Overdrive and TSN Radio listeners. So tune in throughout the afternoon and find out how and when you can win those tickets.
I'm hungry.
John Grappler.
I'm going to order you guys some food.
Let's order some food up.
Want a bucket? I was thinking.
KFC?
Yeah, you want it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I got to get it. Because Uber Eats is one of our big sponsors now, and I've never used it.
All right, well
I'm starving.
Let's talk off air, and we'll come up with a plan.
That guy farted on the plane today? Come on, man. Like, I need some.
All right, Roddy's in the house. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Welcome back to the Rod Black Show. We have a real host in studio.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Do you think he wants that type of responsibility?
Today it's the Rod Black Show.
That's fine, but he's hosting. You got your own panels going on. You probably just want to relax. I can't believe you accepted the invitation to come up here.
I love you guys. I love listening to you, and I don't see the O-Dog very often in person, so.
It's great to have you up here,
man.
I'm going to be bothering you guys tomorrow night. I think I'm going to crash
Lots of room.
The suite that you
guys
have.
It's a long way up, though.
Oh, I know that.
I like watching from up there, though, because it's you see the trajectory of shots. And you, the game is a little bit slower. When you get down low, it's crazy how different it is and how great these athletes are. And watching Kawhi Leonard, guys, I'm going to tell you, I've been lucky enough to be there since day one for the Raptors. I have never seen any athlete in a Raptor uniform like that. And the only other athlete I've ever seen comparatively, I would say LeBron, Kobe, and Michael. He reminds me of Michael Jordan so much. Doesn't have the swagger, doesn't have the tongue hanging out, you know, doesn't have Space Jam and all that stuff, but he's a killer, both offensively and defensively, and he doesn't miss. And when he misses, it's just by, you know, a little bit.
Does he shoot the ball flatter than a lot of people? It seems like sometimes he just drills it late. There's no arc to it. It's
no
like
arc.
It's his fall away for sure.
It's crazy to watch it go in. I'm like, how? He just like, it's like he whips it at the basket and it goes in.
Except when he's shooting from the corner and he has puts that arc so they can hit the front of the rim.
That was an exception. But it seems like there's a flatter trajectory and it just, he nails it.
Especially on free throws. You watch him shoot a free throw, it's on a rope. Like
there is no little
above.
Feather. It's just that he just drilled. I wondered if anybody else
get there early tomorrow, and I want to take you down and watch Kawhi in warm up. First time I saw this, I looked at Leo and went, my God, like, you know, they're NBA players. They should make a lot of shots. You'll see guys make 15 in a row.
But this guy doesn't miss.
I've seen other players have the trajectory where they rattled the rim and it just grazed the rim. When he is working in warm up, it's like splash, splash, splash. It rarely hits the rim. I saw him hit like 34 in a row from 15 feet, and I went, okay, he good. He good. I think we're going to like him here.
Did you see David Bakhtiari smash two beers last night? The left tackle for the Packers.
Christian Yelich absolutely annihilated Aaron Rodgers. So here's an arena and maybe a city that tells you a lot about it. I quite like Milwaukee. I mean, any city that likes beer. The biggest rise they get beyond a game-winning basket is that beer-chugging contest that have. So a celebrity on Celebrity Row has to chug a beer.
Don't you think Rodgers was playing it cool? Like, do you really think he can't chug a beer?
Oh, no,
I
no.
Can't.
No,
I can't do it.
Went.
I don't know who can.
Really?
Yeah, no. He was trying,
and he just couldn't get there?
And then when Yelich did it, and Yelich pounded it back, crushed it, they went back to Aaron Rodgers, and he said, oh, he only had 3/4 of a cup. So, no.
I feel like he was, you know, you don't want to mess around with your left tackle. That's the guy that protects your back.
Good point.
Like, you don't want to big time him. Bakhtiari's a machine. I mean, that guy, he's a Dothraki, basically, just smashing beers. Like, he's a machine. He took down 3 at one point, I think, earlier in the playoffs. 3 straight.
I have no skill in life except that. I can crush.
You can chug a beer?
Yeah, from Winnipeg, man.
All right. We got to do that on the air.
That's
at some
our
point.
Sport.
We got to fly, bud.
Ernie Johnson coming up in about 10 minutes. Overdrive continues.